TRUOIL v. BLM 23-8082. Would counsel for appellant make your appearance and proceed, please?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Would you make your appearance and proceed, please?
May it please the court, Mr. McArdle, Chief Judge Holmes. I'm Patrick Murphy from Casper, Wyoming, on behalf of Appellants True Ranches, LLC and TRUOIL, LLC. And the district court got some things right, but erred as a matter of law with its most important ruling. The district court correctly ruled that the BLM's requirement that petitioners file for a federal APD is, quote, final agency action, unquote, because it was a property rights determination. Judge Rankin correctly observed that once the BLM required petitioners to file for a federal APD, that position was enforced on outside parties and final for purposes of judicial review under the APA. The BLM's action is final because it regulates the rights of TRUOIL and TRURanches and places additional legal obligations on the property owner. Judge Rankin correctly observed, quote, the BLM's unilateral determination altered the balance of the property interests of the parties, and he reasoned this way. If property rights are akin to a bundle of sticks, the respondents have taken a stick and added to their pile the petitioners argue belong in theirs.
Irrespective of whether it's final, and if there is a property rights determination and specifically related to the scope of the reservation under the SRHA, then why isn't this a quiet title action? I mean, why isn't this covered there? I mean, irrespective of whether it's final, it seems to me that that's a problem.
Okay. Great question, Your Honor. And we all know that they argued the quiet title action for the first time on appeal. But even if we overlook that problem, on the merits, to answer your question, TRUOIL and TRURanches do not claim title or rights to any of the federal minerals. The BLM does not dispute that TRURanches is the owner of the surface and TRUOIL is the owner of their minerals. And there is no conflict or dispute as to the title. The government owns what it owns. TRUOIL and TRURanches own what they own. Only if there is a dispute as to the title would that be a federal title question act.
And this is the point. I mean, I didn't read the cases as being caught up with the term title and whether what we're talking about is title as much as the allocation of interest related to certain property. And so if TRUOIL, TRURanches has the surface ownership of that land, and what we can do as a surface owner with our land vis-a-vis the BLM. The BLM says there are certain things that you need a permit to do. TRURanches says, no, we don't need a permit to do those things because we're a surface owner and it's included, as you refer to what the district court decision, in our bundle of sticks. Well, why isn't that, at its essence, a dispute over property? Who has the right to control that property? And if that's the case, then it seems to be, it's de facto, if not in spirit anyway, a title dispute.
I just have to respectfully disagree. The title is not in dispute. The question is, what are the rights connected to the title? And that is where we have the interplay on the split estate law in Wyoming and other states, and why the BLM and our interactions with the BLM, that's what governs here. This is an administrative proceeding.
I am grateful for the opportunity to hear your view, and so I'm grateful for the respectful disagreement. What I would like to know is, with that view that you've adopted, what is the best case that you have that specifically deals with this issue that we're talking about now? And to put a fine point on it, the distinction between the ability to control the property that, you know, you've received this surface ownership, right, of the True Ranches has. Their ability to, the scope of what they can do as a surface owner with their property, the distinction between that and a dispute that actually focuses on whether there is a transfer of title. Because as I understand it, if, and correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying is the quiet title action really, well, it means what it says. If you're not disputing the actual title of property, then the quiet title action does not apply. Do I understand that correctly? Well, then if I understand that correctly, give me what you deem to be your best case that says that's the rule and it would exclude any dispute over how one controls their interest in land.
I'm just looking for it in my notes right now, but I think it's the Cyber Geigy case. And I'll find it probably right after the argument gets over. But that's
okay. And I don't want to occupy all your time on this. Okay. If you think that's the case, if it turns out not to be the case, just send us a 28J to clarify. Okay?
But that's in your brief, as I recall.
Yes. Oh, it is, Your Honor. I've just forgotten the name of the case right now.
All right.
Apologize. Anyway, Judge Rankin got it right on. This is reviewable under the APA. It's final agency action. It was a final decision. And under the Cyber Geigy case that I just mentioned, it said that the BLM's agency decision is not separable from the agency's enforcement decision. And so it is a final agency action. But this is where we got off the track. The most fundamental flaw in the district court's ruling was its holding that, quote, requiring an APD for a traversing well that passes through but does not develop or produce from federal minerals does not exceed the BLM's statutory authority, unquote. The agency order we submit to your honors does exceed the BLM's statutory authority because, first, there is no rule or regulation under the Mineral Leasing Act that requires True Oil and True Ranches to file a federal APD for a non-producing traversing well. Second, private oil and gas producers are precluded from filing a federal APD. We don't even have the ability under the MLA to do what the BLM wanted us to do. And third, without a federal lease, without a federal leaseholder, without the intent to produce those federal minerals, a federal APD is not applicable or required.
So I'm intrigued with your second of those points. I didn't see anything that would prohibit the Bureau of Land Management from adopting a well-known mechanism of an APD for other purposes. And sure, the APD application would give them a lot of information. And I look at the Mineral Leasing Act that says the Secretary not only can prescribe rules and regulations, and I agree there's no rule and regulation on this, but it says, and it, in addition, can do all things necessary to carry out its purposes under this chapter.
Okay.
And it seems to me that one of the things is that they have certain rights and they can do all things necessary to protect them. So I don't see why it is wrong for the BLM to say, you all are familiar with APDs, we've used them for drilling permits, it gives us lots of useful information. We're going to require that in order to see if we can regulate this transverse occupation of some of our land interest.
I think, Judge Ebell, you have hit to the heart of the case. We all agree, and Judge Rankin agreed, that the BLM did not have any rule or regulation in this area of traversing wells. So the BLM thought, and I think Judge Rankin agreed with him, so they must have some kind of general authority to do it. But here's the problem with that. The Constitution, we start there, here's what it says in relevant part. It says, the Congress shall have the power to dispose of and to make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property of the United States. That they have that power. They then enacted in 1916, during World War I, the Mineral Leasing Act, and it's been amended since then. But the Mineral Leasing Act only legislates over the development, production, and the leasing of federal minerals. We don't have any of that here. We have a pass-through pipe going through the federal minerals, and we're not producing, developing, or leasing it.
You're not. But the BLM would like to protect its development rights in that property. And so they're saying it all does turn on development, the very thing we're authorized by Congress to do. Not your development, but our development. And to protect that development of our right, we have to prevent trespassing horizontal wells. So it seems to me that it does fit within their rights. Although I agree that there is, and then I agree that they're not an operator. I mean, certainly True Oil is not an operator, but it seems to me what they're saying is that we're protecting the development of our rights, and we are choosing to use an APD as a mechanism for regulating that. In other words, the statutes say we don't have to have a regulation on that.
That's what they say.
I know that.
To follow up on Judge Ebel's point, I mean, there is that general language at the end that Congress put in there to allow for the BLM ultimately to effectuate the purposes of the Mineral Leasing Act. And if one of those purposes is to prophylactically protect its interests, and note, it's not stopping you from doing anything. It's saying you got to get a permit so that we can evaluate and make sure our interests are protected. I mean, it's one thing to say that there is no regulation that allows you to do it, but the question is really, is there anything that stops them from doing that? Is there anything in the statute, given that they have general language that allows them to effectuate the purposes of that statute? Why isn't that the right way, lens through which to look at this?
And just to add on, but I agree completely with the way the chief is asking that question, but if the BLM had said, okay, we're trying to protect our property, we need to know what you want to do, how you're going to do it, can it be done safely with the ways we want to develop and protect our property, file a new document, we're going to give it a brand new name, file some 10-page document that talks about transgressing upon future development by other people of this property. But you know what? We're used to APDs. It's got good information in there, so we'll call it an APD. We're going to adapt a second purpose for an APD. We'll just use that form because it's got a good way for us to get a hook on you.
I agree with your honors that the BLM would have the power from Congress to do that. They've known about traversing wells for 30 years. They've not gone through any real rulemaking. We don't have any public comments. We don't have any criteria for any of the APDs for a non-producing well. We do have, requirements and that are well known with respect to producing wells. Nothing on traversing wells. If they were to have gone through the process and given the public and the operators in the oil and gas world what the rules of the land are with respect to these kind of non-producing traversing wells, that's one thing. They've not done that.
That's why they wanted to incorporate the APD. There is plenty of rules of the land on an APD. And so I think what they are saying is that's a mechanism that we've already cleared through the regulatory process. We'll use that one.
But we've already got an APD from the state of Wyoming.
Well, you raised that in your brief, and I guess my as arrogant as the federal government may be accused of being sometimes, if I were the federal government, I'd say, fine, you've got this from Wyoming, but that doesn't mean anything to me. I want my own mechanism to collect the information that I need. Whatever Wyoming did, good for Wyoming, but I want my own to protect my own interests. And this, you know, there's a subtext in what you're saying that I want to make sure I understand you correctly. Are you saying that the agency had to enact a regulation? In other words, it could not act based upon the general prophylactic power that language at the end of the statute gives it and say, because see, you're on a hook, but you say this is a final decision. Okay, well, the APA they've made a final decision here to protect their interests, to prophylactically do this. And note, if they had done a memo, let's go right out of the APD context. If they said, give me a memo to tell me what you're doing because, you know, we believe we like Wyoming, but we want to protect our own interests. Could they do that?
What they had under the Mineral Leasing Act, they can do all of these things when you're talking about the development, production of a producing well and producing federal minerals. They do not have that statutory authority from Congress to do that on non-producing wells like this.
Development and production has to be here and now, immediate development and immediate production, rather than we are taking steps to protect our development and production of this land down the road. You're saying until the risk is immediate, you can't do anything. And isn't that it's hard to believe Congress would want to buy off on that, because there are long lead times for oil and gas development. We all know that. And you've got to, by the time they're getting around to try to protect it, barn door's already open.
I'm not saying they had all those lead times. I'm saying that they have had 30 years to have rulemaking and comments on this kind of situation where you're just having a pass-through without production on a traversing well. They have not acted in any way. Congress has not acted to give them that power to legislate in that area, and they've not formed rules. But now what they did in this case, Your Honor, is they just imposed this federal APD requirement on us without any authority at all.
And that's what I want to clarify. Why would they have to have a rule? What's your precedent that says they had to have a rule in order to impose this requirement? Which you put forward as being a final determination. Right. Why did they have to have a rule to do that?
You can't act beyond your statutory authority.
Totally different from an administrative rule. But you're not responding to Chief Judge's question.
I'm agreeing with you that the BLM could have, if it chose, have rules and regulations in this particular area, but they haven't.
They cannot act if they don't have a rule. And that's the question that the Chief and I are both asking.
And what's your answer to that? Plain question. Absent a rule, are you saying they had no authority to do anything to protect their interest in their mineral lease, their mineral interests in that land, federal minerals?
If it is true, as it is here, that it does not involve the development or the production from those federal minerals,
or the future,
that is correct.
Or the future,
okay,
development and production.
So speculative.
Production and developability. Oh, well, okay.
I think that's just so speculative. If I could just conclude, I see my time is up. Three things. We're asking the court to respectfully reverse the district court's holding that the BLM acted within its scope and authority under the MLA. We're asking you to find that the BLM does not have the requisite statutory authority under the MLA to require the petitioners to file a federal APD, and to find, finally, that the Stock Raising Homestead Act and the Property Clause of the Constitution, without any agency rulemaking, do not allow the BLM to condition petitioner's right to drill through but not produce from federal minerals with its traversing well. I thank the court very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Kevin McArdle on behalf of the United States. I'd just like to try to present an initial summary that I hope will sort of synthesize some of the points we heard in the initial presentation. BLM's objective here is not to prevent True Oil from drilling the proposed traversing well. Quite the contrary, its objective is to accommodate True Oil's request while also ensuring that the public's mineral estate and the lessee's rights are adequately protected. This well would traverse the productive zone of a leased federal mineral tract, the Codell Formation, and that's evident from the Joint Appendix Volume 3, pages 1 through 3, 54, and 70. It would also penetrate and occupy a range of mineral materials that belong to the public, including mudstone, sandstone, shale, chalk, marl, and limestone.
So your argument here is it's not just oil and gas.
Absolutely not.
That's what I understood. I just wanted to make it.
No, it's far broader, and that's why.
So it's actually, it may not be penetrating an oil cap, but it is penetrating certainly some of the other minerals, no doubt about that, and indirectly may be affecting the accessibility and development of the oil.
Correct.
Those two arguments.
Those two are true, and also there may be at least some unknown quantity of oil and gas lost as the traversing well drills through the Codell Formation. The quantity is unclear, but even the plaintiffs recognize that oil and gas could be incidentally encountered during the drilling process. So all three facets are implicated by this well. And like any other property owner, BLM, as the statutory guardian of the public's lands and mineral resources, has the right to review and approve any proposed use of public property.
You spoke to about the mudstone, sandstone, shale, et cetera, that could be penetrated. Would the BLM's protective authority relative to those things be encompassed within their protective authority under the Mineral Leasing Act? I mean, because this is not, they aren't, going back to what Judge Ebel was saying, these aren't federal minerals, are they?
At least some of them qualify as federal minerals within the meaning of the Mineral Leasing Act. And I think there's a good summary of those materials, a list at page 159 of Volume 2 of the appendix. There's a thoughtful analysis there of some of these issues.
Where does that list come from? Is that just a litigation list from your briefs, or is there some list in an official document?
Well, the list I just mentioned comes from the Joint Appendix, Volume 2, page 159.
But what is that appendix?
Where is it?
Where does that come from?
That I'm not sure. I do vaguely remember coming across a regulation or statute that sort of mirrored the definition of minerals.
Okay. So you said some of the things that you were ticking off would qualify as minerals, some being the word. Well, the ones that wouldn't, I guess, as it relates to what I understood to be the protective authority that the BLM was seeking to exercise relative to those non-minerals, where would the authority for that come from? Would it be encompassed within the MLA authority, or would that authority come from someplace else?
Well, assuming for the sake of argument that the minerals within the meaning of the SRHA and minerals within the meaning of the MLA are not coextensive, assuming for the sake of argument there's some difference and that this case would implicate some of the non-overlapping substances, then potentially the authority would come from the Federal Land Policy and Management Act, which gives BLM broad authority to require permits for any use of public lands that's not specifically covered by another authorization. So it's a catch-all for precisely the situation we're sort of describing here. You know, and that's an important point, because if the plaintiffs were right, and we don't think they are, but if the MLA doesn't apply, and we can't use the APD process, the only party to this case that would be injured by that is True Oil, because it just takes off the table an established and efficient process that the parties can use to accommodate both sides' legitimate interests. It wouldn't give them a right to drill through federal property. They'd have to go get another form of permission, either a FLTMA land use authorization or a memorandum, something from the federal government that says, yes, you can take your well out, you can drill through our sandstone and occupy public land. But because it's public land, we have a right to review and approve any use of it.
But you're saying that the mineral estate constitutes public land?
Absolutely, yes, within the meaning of FLTMA.
And you're saying more than, well, the mineral estate, including things that aren't minerals, right? In other words, you've got this split situation, and the mineral estate, let's use that phrase, is what is reserved to the federal government. Within that, this is federal land, if you will, and as it relates to that, even if they aren't things that would technically fit under a definition of minerals, which is what I'm trying to get at, your premise, as I understand it from FLTMA, would be it's still public land, and you can't drill through that without some sort of mechanism for us to ensure that land is protected.
Yes, I think that's an accurate characterization. Okay.
But that does require just a broad definition of what minerals mean.
Yes, but the definition under the SRHA and Western Nuclear, it's hard to imagine it being any broader. It covers any inorganic substance that can be removed from the soil that could have potential commercial value, and that Congress would not have envisioned belonged to the owner of a limited surface estate designed for agricultural use.
So I'm familiar with, I mean, I've heard that phrase, but just tell me which statute that's in again.
That test is in the Supreme Court's Western Nuclear decision.
Okay, is it in a statute? Where did the Supreme Court get that? Where did that come from?
It was interpreting the SRHA, that divides the estates here between the surface estate and the mineral estate. And the Supreme Court was asked to review whether the government's mineral estate included gravel. And the court held that, yes, it did, because the mineral estate's expansive, and it includes any materials that satisfy that test I briefly outlined, which I'm just paraphrasing. But that's the test. And the court also said any doubts about whether a substance belongs to the government or to the surface owner are resolved in the government's favor. And in looking at a particular subsurface substance, also, you need to look at whether Congress would have envisioned the surface estate owner who's engaged in agricultural uses to have owned this subsurface material. And so that's going to be a very small, if any, amount of material other than soil.
So under this broad definition of minerals, if I take it your position would be whether it is through this permitting process or in some way, in order for them to penetrate this mineral estate, broadly defined, they're going to need something, you know, to allow them to do that. Some sort of permit from the federal government, right?
Right.
Okay. And if for whatever reason, the broad definition that you sketched out related to the SRHA, or the Mineral Leasing Act didn't apply, that you still have the backup of FLTMA, right?
Right.
Okay. Let me shift then to the question of the Quiet Title Act. And if you would address the question in part that I raised to counsel, are we only talking about what would in effect be a transfer of some title, or are we talking about the notion that if there is a dispute relative to what a surface owner can do with its estate, and you know the federal government says, you know, we've got a mineral estate that allows us to require a permit for you to penetrate this land. Surface owner says, no, I'm a surface owner and I can authorize this transversing well. Is that dispute covered by the Quiet Title Act? Or does there actually have to be something that one could literally view as being a transfer of title in dispute?
It's absolutely covered by the Quiet Title Act. Here's the Supreme Court's most recent pronouncement of the scope of the Quiet Title Act. This is from the Patchett case. The QTA, quote, authorizes and so waives the government's sovereign immunity from a particular type of action known as a quiet title suit, a suit by a plaintiff asserting a right, title, or interest in real property that conflicts with a right, title, or interest that the United States claims. That's exactly what we have here.
So in a quiet title action, a court would then be called upon to determine who has the rights associated with each component of the land, the sludge, the shale, the minerals, the oil, and gas. There's no dispute about that. The only question, arguably, is an administrative question, and that is knowing without dispute who owns what is the traversing of the minerals that are indisputably owned by the federal government, controlled by BLM. Do those administratively trigger the requirement for an APD under the Mineral Leasing Act? So in a quiet title action, wouldn't the ultimate question, even with its broad reading of the authority under the Quiet Title Act, ultimately devolve into, okay, well, in applying the Mineral Leasing Act, do they need an APD or not? That's the question. It's not whether or not who owns, who has what rights to this oil and gas. Nobody questions that.
Well, I'm not sure if that's right. Let's take it from the reverse. Suppose the court were to say the MLA doesn't apply to traversing wells. Doesn't apply. We do. I can get into that. The language is incredibly broad, what authority it grants to BLM. But if the MLA doesn't apply, what follows from that?
Does it win?
Yes. No. If it doesn't apply, the plaintiffs don't benefit. They lose one established avenue of securing our permission to drill through our mineral estate. But if it doesn't apply, it doesn't mean that they can now drill through without our approval. They need to get some other form of approval to drill through public property.
And see, at least as I understood their position, they didn't need your approval, which is where it seems to me the Quiet Title Act, at least I want to wrap my brain around, seems to come into play. Because if we're talking about interests, you know, not, as you point out, disjunctively, right, title, or interest, then the question is, we don't need your approval, government, to do this. We can do this because we're surface owners. And the government says, no, I've got a mineral estate, and you need our approval. Isn't that what we're talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. That's why the essence and heart of this dispute is over the scope, not the nominal name of each party's title, but the scope of the title and the rights that it provides to each party. That's why they pled the claim as they did. The claim on the amended complaint, page 1, and the wherefore clause, it doesn't even seek to have an agency action set aside. It seeks a resolution of the party's competing property rights.
You know, I'm almost out of breath about the scope that you're asserting for title actions. It seems to me nobody really is quarreling with the title, e.g., who owns these various estates. That title is clear. What is really clear is what you can do with them. And I would just analogize to the surface. Let's say there's two lots next to each other. And one lot decides, middle of the night, they would like to have their marching band practicing out on their front yard. And they do and keep everybody awake. And so the neighbor says, hey, you can't do that because it's infringing on my rights to sleep. It's a nuisance. It doesn't fit anything else. And the first guy says, oh, no, you can't bring a lawsuit of nuisance or anything else. You got to bring a quiet title action because I'm trying to use my title in a certain way, my case. And if you are trying to restrict my use of this land, it's got to be a quiet title action. Well, of course it doesn't. And it seems to me the same analysis is applied here. Nobody is challenging the title or any of the title real estate accoutrements. They are challenging a right to do something. I just don't see how a quiet title action, that broader view would convert quiet title actions to accomplishing every single kind of police power enforcement and regulation and zoning and everything else. It's not what quiet title actions are.
Well, Judge Ebel's hypothetical is a good one, and certainly you're going to have an opportunity to respond to that, although your time is completed. So please do respond. Why isn't that what his hypothetical analogous to what we have going on here?
I think the hypothetical is predicated on the notion that there's no dispute that the well would traverse federal mineral materials owned by the United States. I don't read their complaint as stipulating or agreeing to that. It says in the reply brief that it would traverse non-mineral materials. And it also seems to allege that even to the extent that the well would traverse federal materials, the surface owner nevertheless has a property right to drill the subsurface well. So, and if the source of that alleged right to drill through at least some federal material is supposedly a property right, then we are back in the quiet title context. And if they're disputing...
Well, they're just saying it's a property right.
Right, but I do want to say if they agree that we own the materials that the well is going to traverse, then it probably is not. And that it's not a question of property law. It's just, you know, whether the MLA applies and they agree.
It's what rights you have under the MLA and the FLPM.
Let me make sure I understand. You said if they agree what?
If they agree that we own all of the subsurface materials that the well would traverse,
yes,
then it probably isn't a quiet title act.
Okay.
As long as they're not alleging that notwithstanding our ownership, we still have a property right under Texas case.
I thought that is what they're asserting.
Yeah,
that was their
second. They were arguing that they have the right to the clay and the sand and the rock. So I don't think they were claiming that.
Well, I read their complaint as saying they own the materials, number one, that the well would traverse. And to the extent they don't, they still have the right as the surface owner, as under policy reasons in that Texas case.
Just like the guy who says, I've got a right to make as much noise on my land at 2 a.m. as I want. I mean, anything that is simply is not a quiet title action. It's a nuisance or a police action or a regulatory action or a zoning ordinance or something else, but it's not a quiet title.
Well, if there's no dispute over ownership of the subsurface materials, if they agree with our position that we own it, and there's no claim that they have a property right to drill without our approval, then it wouldn't be a quiet title action. They would just lose because we own the materials, and therefore we have the right to approve whatever they want to do with public property. You can't just drill through public property without the government's approval. Either, you know, we tried to accommodate them with extending the APD process to this. Well, if it doesn't apply, it just deprives them of one avenue to get our permission.
Is the question somewhat narrower that if True Oil acknowledges that the horizontal traversing wells would traverse minerals that are owned by BLM, even if the horizontal wells traverse other, say, shale, other items that might or might not be owned by the federal government, might or might not constitute minerals, but if they acknowledge that the traversing wells would traverse minerals that are owned by BLM, then you would agree that there's no quiet title action requirement.
As long as, I'm sorry to belabor this, but as long as they're not also claiming that notwithstanding our ownership, they still have a property right based on policy and common law to drill a traversing well through our materials, even if it would go through right through our materials. And I did read their complaint to sort of suggest that.
Okay.
Even if there'd be incidental removal, they still have a property right. And if that's the claim, it's still the quiet title act. I see I'm out of time. Thank you very much for the opportunity to appear.
Would you like an opportunity to respond? I'd like to hear from you, appellant.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a question. If you would give him 2 minutes, and there were two questions that were raised as to the characterization of your complaint. My question is very simple. Do you agree with that characterization of what you're alleging, that one, that you have, that they don't own the minerals underneath, And two, even if they do, you have a property right to drill through?
Okay. Number one, we agree that the federal government owns the minerals underneath the surface. We also agree that True Oil owns all of the materials that are not minerals underneath the surface. We agree that we presented our case to the State of Wyoming Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and provided notice to the BLM of our proposed traversing well and asked them if they wanted to appear before the Wyoming Oil and Gas Commission and had any objection to it. They refused to do that, even though they have an internal memorandum with the State of Wyoming that they share data.
I'm not sure that's responsive to the Chief's question.
With the State of Wyoming's approval, and after giving due notice to the BLM of our proposed drilling down through not only the minerals but the non-minerals, Your Honor, we had the
minerals. There are definitions of minerals that include, I think, clay and other things. Is that not right?
I don't think it includes clay.
Let me be clear. Do you contend that you have a property right to drill through the subsurface area, which would include the minerals that the federal government owns?
The answer is yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And because we are not taking them, we're not disposing of them, we're not possessing them.
So that's if I have a root cellar 2 miles away from your property, and I'd like to access it through a secret little tunnel that I would start to build on the other side of your of this area lease. Would that be a property right that I would say? I can just be a mole and just drill through, kind of like everybody's experiencing in Gaza?
No, Your Honor. You have to give notice to everyone, to the governing body, which in this case was...
But my notice would be I have a property right because I happen to own a root cellar 2 miles away. That gives me a property right to transverse everybody's land.
You have to consider everyone's rights, the correlative rights. And our point of the whole briefs is that...
But you're saying that to access a land, to start when I'm not on your property, to end when I'm not on your property, I don't have any lease or any right or any permission from you to go across your property, but I just want to get from A to B, and you happen to be in the way, so that's a property right. It's not a regulatory or a police or a constitutional or other right, it's a property right.
It is a property right, but we have to
be solved by a quiet title action, a QTA.
Definitely not. It's not a quiet.
And you're saying you gave notice to the Wyoming Commission, gave them an opportunity to respond?
A big time.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thanks for your fine arguments.
Thank you.